This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:50 a.m. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wong Xiaoning and Keith Kam. We're turning our attention now to the Malaysian property sector.
Since 2019, this sector has been underperforming the broader FBM KLCI, but that all changed in September last year on the back of improving demand-supply dynamics with reduced inventory as there were fewer launches during the pandemic, whilst there was also positive news flow from Johor over the creation of a special economic zone.
So this pickup was also observed in the industrial land industrial land transactions, on the back of stronger foreign direct investment and the continued boom in the logistics sector. In fact, the latest good news has been the growth of data centres and the selling of Malaysia Inc. as a good alternative to Singapore as a regional hub. So does this then mean that the recent rally in the property sector still has legs?
Joining us on the line to discuss this is Lung Kok Wen, Regional Head of Property at RHB Investment Bank. Kok Wen, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. So the property sector, as measured by the Bursa Property Index, is up 17% on a year-to-date basis. Why should we continue to be positive, and what are those catalysts to look out for?
Yeah, hi. So the sector is currently trading at about 46% discount to RNAV, which is close to the plus one standard deviation level. But, you know, when we compare to the peak cycle valuations 10 years ago, it was around 30% discount to RNAV. So, of course, you know, you may say that valuations are no longer as cheap as before. But we think that, you know, positive news flow ahead should still continue to support valuations. And investors, you know, should also focus on leg up plays that have the right market exposure. We expect the property sector to continue to be driven by positive news flow on the potential infra developments like the KL Singapore High Speed Rail, JB LRT, and, you know, Penang LRT, which was already announced. And also, you know, active land transactions, particularly in Iskandar, Malaysia. And of course, influx of FDIs and expansion by local manufacturer players. So developers with sizable land bank and exposure to industrial developments should benefit more in our view. And also, you know, the pump priming across the Klang Valley, Iskandar, Malaysia and Penang region should leave valuations for the sector more entirely. And of course, you know, we hope that the geopolitical tension in the Middle East will not get worse.
Kok Wen, you mentioned Iskandar, Malaysia, and last year was the story of Johor with the creation of a special economic zone. Is this good news already priced in, or can we expect further upside to physical property sales in the state?
Yeah, partially priced in my view. And we, of course, we still expect further upside in terms of property sales from the Johor region. Details on the SEZ, the special economic zone, have yet to be announced. And also, you know, what if the KL Singapore High Speed Rail is really going to be implemented, right? So I believe there is still upside in property demand, and recent projects launched by some developers also saw very encouraging response.
Okay, meanwhile, the federal government has approved the long-awaited LRT project in Penang. How does that change the property scene on that island? And among the developers you cover, who stands to actually benefit?
Yeah, okay. The Bayan Lepas LRT project will connect Komta to Silicon Island. So this is expected to ease traffic congestion and enhance connectivity. So based on the alignment, a few projects are expected to benefit. And this include, like, you know, Gamuda, Silicon Island, which is almost 2,300 acres to be reclaimed. Masing South Bay City in Batu Maung, IGM Corp's the light waterfront project. So, you know, these are the key players on the Penang Island. But of course, you know, there was no mention on the potential line extension to Tanjung Bunga. But yet, you know, E&O as a major asset and landowner in Penang Island with 710 acres at the STP 2, and this excludes the 365 acres in Ketak Sanggu. So E&O should also benefit from the wealth effect.
And if we take a look at what developers are doing, do you see an uptick of land banking by developers in recent months? I mean, which developers have been active, and what does this mean for land prices in urban Malaysia?
Yeah. Indeed, you know, very active land bank transactions like Masing, EcoWorld, and a small cap developer like Avaland are amongst the developers that have been actively buying land bank. To a certain extent, Sunway also, you know, they bought land in Jurong, Singapore, which is quite near to the proposed HSR terminal in Singapore. So other than this, EME Elite is also looking for land. Apart from developers, the rising pool of end users driven by the influx of FDIs. So these are the manufacturers and data center users and players, as well as the expansion plans by, you know, some E&E companies as well. So all this have intensified the competition for land. So in early April, we also saw Crescendo announcing the land disposal in Pulai to Microsoft Payments Malaysia. Yeah, so all in, you know, the company has already sold a total of 4 parcels of land in Johor to data center operators and users in less than a year. So, and the lands were transacted at about 120 to 125 ringgit per square foot, considered record price. So, yeah, and lately land collectors will be like Scientex and Legenda Properties. They have also been buying large tracts of land for long-term development. So overall, land prices are expected to escalate further given such momentum.
Finally, Godwin, what are your top 3 picks for this sector and why are you picking them?
Yo, okay. My top 3 picks are UEM Sunrise, RI Pop, and ENO. We think investors should stay invested in the Johor team. You know, investor Iskandar Malaysia is really seeing influx of investment, but the government has yet to make official announcement and decisions on major developments such as the, you know, special economic zone, JBLRT and high-speed rail. So all these catalytic projects are important to spur demand for property further. So of course, UEM and RI Prop, they are the 2 key Johor thematic plays given their sizable land bank exposure in Gebang, Nusa Jaya and also Kulai. And of course, ENO is a key Penang property play. So the company should also enjoy the positive spillover from the Penang LRT project and upcoming expansion moves by many Penang-based and foreign E&E players.
Godwin, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was Loong Godwin, Regional Head of Property with RHB Investment Bank, giving us her outlook for the Malaysian property sector, ending the call there with some of her top picks, namely UEM, IOI and ENO.
Well, if you look at the property sector, right, it's really surprised me because if you look on a one-year basis, it's outperformed after so many years of sluggish sales. I think it's just a question of news flow at the moment, and the news flow has been really positive. Now, even stocks like UEM on a one-month basis already up 4.76%, IOI up 2.82%. The valuations which she was talking about, which is RNAV, which is otherwise known as revised or revalued net asset value, that discount, however, has been coming down because property prices have been, well, at least property stocks have been going up. So it's whether how much more of a discount the market is going to assign. Is it going to narrow so much so?
And it's not really, the focus is not really very widespread. It's really very Johor and Penang based.
That was my takeaway. Those two are pretty much the hot spots when it comes to the property sector at the moment. All right, it's coming up to 7:59 in the morning. We're heading into the 8 a.m. news bulletin, but we do have a message for you.
Unlock a world of connections and opportunities with the University of Nottingham, Malaysia's global alumni network, which boasts over 320,000 people worldwide. So picture yourself going beyond borders, connecting with leaders, entrepreneurs and professionals from diverse fields, maintaining a close-knit spirit through events, collaborations and shared experiences.
It's more than just a connection. It's a global family. Explore more with the university tomorrow, April 17 at 2:45 p.m. only on BFM 89.9.
After the 8 a.m. news bulletin, stay tuned for The Breakfast Grill when Philip C speaks to Dang Tai Luk, Group CEO of My News Holdings Berhad, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.